Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. The title of this morning's lesson is God's Plumb Line, and our text is from Amos chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. So if you have a Bible, I encourage you to turn over there and let's read the passage from Amos chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. A plumb line is something that I think most of you are familiar with, but I know that it's an ancient device and it's not used too often these days. But perhaps a little demonstration might help, so I brought one with me because I know that sometimes we are unfamiliar with them. I don't use this very often myself, but for those of you who don't know, a plumb line is nothing more than a device used to hold and to make sure that something is straight, okay? Carpenters use plumb lines, masons use plumb lines, and if you will notice, this heavy weight right here has a point on the bottom, and it wherever my fingers are, it drops straight down from that point, perfectly straight. There's no argument about how straight it is. It is perfectly straight up and down. So if you read this verse again, Amos chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, and you can envision God holding a plumb line next to a wall. That is what is used to build the wall, to make sure that it is perfectly straight up and down. We still use them today. Carpenters don't use plumb lines too often these days. They usually use a level. And a level is nothing more than a stick with a bubble in it, and the bubble is a device that you can determine whether something is perfectly straight up or perfectly level, horizontal, or vertical. But nonetheless, we still use them occasionally to make sure something is perfectly straight. We use them because we know that if you build a wall and it's not perfectly straight, it'll fall over. We know that carpenters use them all the time to hang doors to make sure that the door opens straight and perfect. We know that we use these things all the time. Plumbers use them. Matter of fact, that's where plumbing comes from. The word plumber is he has to have his pipes in a certain way so that they flow in the right direction. But nonetheless, we know that they're extremely important. Without a plumb line, whenever you're building something, you have to use your eyes, I guess. You have to use, it's left to guesswork. And occasionally, some folks will build things without a plumb or without a level, and you can tell it right off because it's not as straight as it should be. Lots of times, when building things, we'll ask each other, does that look straight? Well, lots of times, just my eyes, it might be different than your eyes. And we can say, well, maybe it's straight, maybe it isn't. And so the eyeball method sometimes works, but usually not, because it can be deceiving. Well, when God holds his plumb line here for Amos to look at, it is perfectly straight, and it leaves there is no guesswork involved in it. Sometimes whenever people look at something after it's been built, they just simply declare, oh, it's straight, whether it is or isn't, without a standard to determine whether it truly is or not. You never will know if it truly is straight or not. And so God's plumb line, exactly what is it? Well, God doesn't build walls. He doesn't build skyscrapers. But we know that God is... So we ask ourselves, what is God's plumb line for in this particular passage of Scripture right here? Well, it's nothing less than God's judgment. It's nothing less than God's expectations. This plumb line represents his word, his ideas, what he wants to take place. It is, and so with that in mind, again, as the plumb line being God's judgment, he uses it to determine if Israel, those that are faithful and those that are not. Again, we'll read it, Amos 7, verse 7 and 8. Then he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what do you see, or what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst, or in the middle of my people, Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. So God was going to use his judgments, his words, his ideas, his expectations to measure the people of Israel to determine those that were built in line and those out of line. And so, if you can just envision God standing there by the wall with a plumb line in his hand, Amos could see it. And God uses these kinds of things on a regular basis throughout the Bible for us to envision what he wants. I'd like to talk about some characteristics of a plumb line. First of all, it is straight like a plumb line. There's no argument. It's perfectly straight. So if we have an argument on whether something is perfectly straight or not, the easy way to determine whether it is or not is to hold the line there or the level. I got two levels at the house that I use or I take to the job site. And occasionally I have one really good one, and it's always accurate. I can always count on it to be straight. But if I don't really like what I see, I might can get the other one out because it reads a little different. And so that's something we're not supposed to do, but every now and then it looks good. Nonetheless, a plumb line is perfectly straight. It cannot be argued with. And whenever we think about God's word, we think of something that you really can't argue with. We have all kinds of religious questions and religious ideas, and all spiritual and religious questions can be settled by a thus saith the Lord. And so we understand that God's judgment is what really counts. And so if you read in John chapter 12, verse 48, a familiar passage to us, we know that concerning God's judgment, Jesus tells us that on the last day we'll be judged by his words. It says, he that receiveth rejecteth me and receiveth not my words has one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So God's plumb line is perfectly straight. It's his words, it's his expectations, it is his desires, his blueprint, if you will. And so that is one thing that you can count on. I know that almost everyone in here has either hung a picture or a mirror on the wall, all right? And usually when we hang a picture or a mirror, it's not too critical if it's perfectly straight or not. But if you, and so a lot of times we just look at it and say, well, we think it looks straight. But if you want it to be perfectly straight, the only way to know that it's straight, again, is to use a level or a plumb. And the same thing goes with spiritual things. You know, we have a lot of discussions in religious things, but if we have a thus saith the Lord, we can know that we're treading on solid ground. We can know, I feel that gives us a lot of confidence to know that what we're doing is God's will, is what God wants us to do. There's no guesswork involved. And that's the beauty of the churches of Christ and the teachings that we go by, and that is, it is straight. It is perfectly straight, and if we line ourselves up with that, then we know we're right. Just like a mason, when he's building a wall, how does he get it straight? Well, at each rock that he lays, he lays it with the line. It's exactly what it says in another passage we'll read here in a little bit in Isaiah chapter 28. And so we know that it is a good feeling to know that what you're doing is by faith in what God has told us to do. So that brings us up to the next point, and that is it takes all the guesswork out of religion. God's plumb line of the Bible, the Scriptures, takes all the guesswork out of it. There are many folks in the world that are searching and want to do what is right, but they're not real sure. So hopefully they will look to the Scriptures, God's plumb line, if you will, to make sure that what they're doing is according to God's will. And so it takes all the guesswork out of building a Christian life. And so this is extremely important. For those of you who don't know, which I think everyone does, is I'm a builder by trade. And several years ago, I don't know if it's been about 14 years ago or so, I built my first chimney. Well, I built this chimney because I couldn't afford anybody else to build it for me because it was expensive, extremely expensive to build it, and I wanted a stone chimney. I didn't want a fake one. I didn't want one made out of anything other than stone, and I wanted it to work. I wanted to burn wood in it. And so I was a greenhorn. I didn't know anything about what I was doing. And so I have to study. I have to figure out how I'm going to do this because that's a lot of time and a lot of effort into building something that might smoke, all right? And so no, that would be nothing worse than a fireplace that smokes. So I did some study and I found a fella to give me some good instructions, and I followed his formula. He showed you how tall to make it, how wide to make it, what the throat was supposed to be, all the details, and there's a lot of details in it. Nonetheless, I followed that formula to a T, and it works. It doesn't fall. It's still standing. It didn't fall over, and it still works. We still burn wood in it. And so it took the guesswork out of building a firebox. I found a lot of information in some other books, but they were kind of vague. They didn't really give you all the details. This particular fellow gave me instruction, and it was detailed. You know, the Bible is a detailed book. God gives us a pattern by which to follow, and that is a wonderful thing because we as humans, we're not very good guessers, especially when it comes to religious matters. And a lot of folks in the world would like to go to heaven, and they're interested in their souls, but they have been led astray by vague ideas and things that are not according to the Word of God, and a better felt than told thing. And so a plumb line, which is the Word of God, takes all the guesswork out of it. There's a formula. And so I remember someone, I'm sure it's been told me more than once, a person studying the Bible, they decide, they understand the necessity of becoming a Christian. They believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and they know they need to repent, confess Jesus, and be baptized for the remission of their sins, but they're a little bit worried that maybe somebody might come along and tell them something new in a month or two, or a year or so. Well, and if you're one of those people here this morning, you need to know that it is straight. The plumb line is perfectly straight, and if you follow the will of God in the New Testament, the things that Jesus has told us to do, it is right, and you can build upon those things and learn and take what you know and go with it and move to the next step. And you can be a faithful Christian, and you can make it to heaven someday if you follow the line. And so that is a beautiful thing about a plumb line. It takes the guesswork out of building, and the Bible takes the guesswork out of religion, and we can do it according to His will. Number three, the next point about God's plumb line is that it is a very distinct, straight, hard line. Anything that's out of line with it is immediately noticed. If I'm building a wall and I hold up a plumb next to it, or I don't ever use the plumb line, I'll be honest with you. I never use one. I use a level, okay, which is the same concept. If there's any single thing that is out of line, it'll be immediately noticed right off, and so it's very distinct. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28, the word plumb is used here again, okay, or the plummet. It's used here again in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 14 through 18. It says, "Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord." Again, the plumb line is God's words, His ideas, His expectations for His people. "You scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem, because you have said, 'We have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement.' When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. So these folks, these leaders of Jerusalem, they are following their own ideas. A refuge of lies is what it's described as. And so God is bringing them again into judgment. Verse 16, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation, a stone. And we know that is speaking of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 16, 18, that he told Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Okay, we know this is referring to Jesus, the precious stone of Israel, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Verse 17, judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. The plummet is another word for a plumb line. And hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. There's two very distinct group of people in this passage. Those that will not make haste. In other words, those folks that have lined themselves up with God's judgment, they will be okay. They'll be safe. But for those folks that have made refuge their lives and made a covenant with hell or death, they will be swept away, it says. Overflowing scourge shall pass through, and then you shall be trodden down by it. And so the idea there is that it is a very distinct line between those that are saved and those that are lost. And those folks, even though they have said to themselves that we've made a covenant with death, verse 15, even though they said, well, I'm going to be all right, or I can wait a while. There's all kinds of things that people have done to try to protect their conscience and to try to negotiate with God, maybe even, on whether they are okay or not. But the Bible makes it very clear that in verse 16, therefore thus saith the Lord God, 17, judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And so there's a very distinct line there. I know as well as you do that lots of us try to, we try to blur the lines of distinction between right and wrong. But the Bible does not. It does not. The Bible is very clear in so many manners. The Bible is very plain. Jesus says, except you be converted and become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, in Matthew 18, verse 3. Except you be converted. That leaves out everybody else. Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish, in Luke 13, verse 3. That leaves out everyone else. Jesus said, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven, in John chapter 3, verse 5. And so God's judgments are very distinct. They're easily saw and easily understood. Sinners often fall into this need to ignore God's line, to ignore it. And that's what some of these folks were trying to do right here. They were trying to either ignore it or just explain it away. And so perhaps they thought they had time to, they had plenty of life left and they could make a change later. Maybe that's why it says they made a covenant with death. But in the end, their refuge of lies would be swept away, and the water shall overflow their hiding place. And so, again, God's laws are very distinct and easily understood. The last point that I'd like to make, and that is a house that is built by God's plumb line, or a church, for that matter, that is built by God's plumb line, is safe. What happens? We mentioned it earlier. What happens when a wall is built sideways? Well, it falls over, doesn't it? Well, in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, Jesus talks about the wise man built his house upon the rock. If you would, go over there and we'll read the passage at the end, toward the end of his sermon. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 beginning. Matthew 7, 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell not, for it was founded on a rock. So whenever we think of Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone, the precious stone that is set there at the corner of the wall, we as Christians, we want to line ourselves up just as straight as we can as possible. When we do things, what we do religious and all the things we practice, if we can do that, then we are building our house upon the things that Jesus has said. All those things in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, if we follow those along with the rest of the New Testament, we will be like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And then we can know when the judgment comes and all the things of life, the final storm would be the judgment, it will stand. The house will stand. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Psalm 127, verse 1 says, except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. And so let us not labor in vain. Let us be prepared for heaven, the final judgment, when God gets his plumb line out and sets it in the midst of us someday. In conclusion, to the faithful that are among us, stay that way. Understand that it is a wonderful note to know that you are doing what God wants you to do. So keep on being faithful until death. To those of you that are not members of the Lord's kingdom, a part of the church, respect God's judgments. Respect his expectations, because he does have a line for us to follow, and there will not be an escape. Just like in Isaiah 28, those folks that have ignored the line or tried to make up lies for themselves, those things will be swept away. For those of you that are unfaithful, we encourage you to think about these things and know that build your house upon the rock. We encourage you also, if you need prayers of the church, to know that there is always an opportunity to come back and do what God wants us to do. And so if there's anyone here this morning that needs the prayers of the church or needs to become a Christian, you would like to start following God's will, we'd be glad to help you and assist you with heaven's call. If you need to step to the front, we can address whatever you have as together we stand and sing.
Rock of ages, clap for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power, not the labor of my hands can fulfill the law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. While I to the fountain fly, Wash me, Savior.